Welcome to the LinkedIn Lady Show with Carol McManus. LinkedIn is a great tool and a great way to do business in today's social media-driven world. And the LinkedIn Lady Show with Carol McManus is designed to inform, inspire, and educate businesses, entrepreneurs, and individuals on the effective use of social media for growing their personal business. Coming up on today's show, you'll learn more about social media, such as Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Google+, Pinterest, and of course, LinkedIn. Here we go with the LinkedIn Lady Show on AllBusinessRadioNetwork.com. Now, here's your host, Carol McManus.
And welcome to the LinkedIn Lady Show. This is your host, Carol McManus. I am so thrilled you are with us today. Whether you are listening live or listening to the podcast, we have a great show on deck for you. But as always, I like to open the show with whatever is hot in the news, in the social digital space. And boy, do I have a goodie for you today. But I'm going to tell you, I will preface it by saying that before you start throwing marshmallows or beach balls or medicine balls at me, I'm going to tell you about a new social networking site that is launching next Tuesday. And boy, is it getting a lot of press. But I'm going to also tell you that it is not for the faint of heart and it's not for everybody. So it is the Netropolitan Club. So instead of Metropolitan, substitute that with an N as in Nancy. It's going to launch on Tuesday. It was created by orchestra conductor James Tushy Peters out of, I believe, Minneapolis. And it is designed for the very, very elite, very wealthy. So they say this is the 1% of Facebook. I'm not even sure that it's 1%. But here's the deal, guys. To join, it will cost you $9,000 and $3,000 a year to renew and to remain part of the club. So it is really about the elite of the elite. This is for an affluent market that doesn't have time, doesn't have the patience for Facebook or Twitter or Pinterest or Google+, and may occasionally use LinkedIn, but is looking for something more exclusive. This is really going to be an interesting thing to watch. There is another site out there called affluence.com. It's never really gotten the traction or the play that they had hoped to, but they also don't charge $9,000. So sometimes, having worked in affluent markets and in affluent marketing for years, I know with the affluent that while money is not the barrier, the exclusivity and the privacy are issues that are very important. And of course, that's one of the reasons the affluent don't necessarily like any of the other platforms, Facebook because of the silliness, and Twitter because of the chaos, and LinkedIn because of the exposure of your contact list. So this one is going to be interesting. I will be talking more about it and let you know how this goes, but this is definitely for the millionaires. So do pay attention to Netropolitan when it launches next Tuesday. The other little bit of news is actually going to be an interesting segue to today's conversation with my guest, because it's an etiquette question, and that's what we're going to be talking about. This happened to be on the news this morning, and then when I went online to prepare for today's show, I also saw an online survey. The announcement was made in the news, in general network news, that hotels, particularly Marriott is taking the lead on this, are trying to move people's behaviors back toward the days of when we tipped the housekeeping staff. And I can remember when I first started traveling that I was taught, trained, and did regularly tip, usually $1, $2, $3, up to $5 a day to the housekeeping staff. You always leave it on the pillow or on the nightstand as an extra thank you for the work of taking care of your room and refreshing it, for the next night stay in the hotel. So the survey that was done online, and I saw it on SmartBrief. I'm not sure if they initiated the survey or if they were capturing it. But here's the question. The question is, what are your thoughts on hotels' efforts to encourage patrons to tip the housekeeper? And here were the answer responses, the choices that you had. I don't tip at hotels, period, so it makes no difference to me. That was choice number one. Choice number two is, why should I tip for something I'm already getting free? Another choice was, it makes sense that a housekeeper should be tipped like other hotel employees. I'll think about tipping. Fourth choice was, I was already doing this and it's great to encourage others. And then the last choice was, if the housekeepers aren't making enough, maybe hotels could pay them more, even if it means higher rates for me. Now, I will tell you that only one of those choices up to this moment in time got all of the answers. Everyone responded to one single choice. And I've got to say, I was stunned by the answer. I actually responded to a different choice, but it didn't show up on the percentages. It's still showing zero. So the vast majority of people are saying, if housekeepers aren't making enough, maybe hotels could pay them more, even if it means higher rates to me. I got to tell you, I was shocked by this one. So I'm going to introduce our guest, who is an expert in etiquette, and I'm going to ask her to weigh in on this question. But let me tell you about my amazing guest. I met this lady at a conference back in 2009, and I have to tell you, she captivated me from the moment I met her. Her poise, her style, her area of specialty, her knowledge, her experience, her willingness to share, and is just off the charts. And I have been an avid subscriber to her newsletter, have kept up with her over these years. I'm ashamed to say that I haven't had her on the show up to this point, but we're going to correct that today. So let me tell you about Cindy Seed. She is the recognized world's leading authority on business protocol and etiquette, and has appeared on ABC's Good Morning America, CBS's Eye on America, Fox's Trading Spouses, HGTV's Party at Home, and Discovery Channel's Picture This. Major companies like Hewlett-Packard Worldwide, Sprint International, National Semiconductor, Marriott Hotels, Mandarin Oriental Hotel, and the Miss Universe pageant trust her to train their employees to avoid social faux pas that could lead to major business and political blunders. As the founder of Advanced Etiquette Worldwide, with affiliate offices in Beijing, China, and Chennai, India, Cindy travels everywhere to help senior executives, business professionals, and mainline employees overcome fears and insecurities to gain poise, confidence, and authority in all business and social situations anywhere in the world. And I could go on and on about Cindy, but you're going to learn about her during the course of the show. So Cindy Seed, welcome, my friend, to the LinkedIn Lady Show.
Well, thank you so much. Great to be here.
So let's start with my little bit of news. What do you think about, A, the question, and B, the results of that survey? I mean, am I the only one that was stunned by people's reactions?
No, not at all. However, the conventional style of etiquette these days has been primarily that we do tip housekeepers in hotels on the average of a minimum of $2 to $5, just as you say, on a daily basis, because they're really, most of them are making only around minimum wage or $15 an hour. So it's just a courtesy because they really do work hard in keeping our rooms clean.
Yeah, so, well, I actually, the funny thing about it is when they say the hotel pays more, even if it means a higher rate to me, I frankly don't believe the second half of that statement because I don't think people would be happy with higher rates. They're complaining about hotel rates, but we're not going to spend a lot of time on that. I mean, I think, you know, everybody wants it always today, but I love the fact that you agree that, you know, this is about honoring people that really, really work hard. And it is a form of etiquette, you know, in the business world. It really is.
Mm-hmm. I think the only other issue is that whether we do away with any and all tipping, as in Europe and other countries, then that would be a different story.
I agree. And there has been talk about that. But then you're back to, well, who's going to pay their salaries? Are they going to increase to the point where these people can make, you know, a good living? Because when you think of whether it's hairdressers or waiters and waitresses and, you know, people that we traditionally tip, you know, they aren't paid enough. And the tips really becomes a vital, important part of their, I'm thinking my stylist, my manicurist. I mean, that's a big part of how they make their living.
Indeed.
Oh, well. But anyway, I didn't want to dwell on this. I want to jump right into our interview. So to get us started, share a little bit more about yourself, your background, and your business, because I gave, you know, sort of the formal introduction, but I want Cindy to tell her side of the story.
Well, thank you. My pleasure. I began speaking and establishing Advanced Etiquette way back in the early 90s. And the express purpose of it was to help women and minorities gain the skills that would make a difference in their life and break through those glass ceilings that we were hearing quite about, you know, way back then. And, you know, it's still a struggle even today. So I had fun helping men and women of all ethnicities achieve, you know, their confidence level when they have to go out and about and socialize. because nowadays everybody can get their BAs, MBAs, and PhDs, but what's going to get them a key to the executive washroom? You know, and it is the soft skills. It is feeling comfortable, schmoozing, you might say, and socializing with people at that level. So even as back as early as 2005, I started going overseas to help people in India and China, as you mentioned, to train their local staff as they are going global to gain this new form of professional polish for the global economy. So it's been a lot of fun.
So let me ask you this, and I am watching our time. I'm sensitive because we only have a couple of minutes before we'll go to our first break. So we'll start this and then we can always finish this on the other side of the conversation. But when you go overseas, and India and China specifically, are the etiquette standards and social conventions better, different, emulate the U.S.? What are you seeing in terms of the trends globally?
I think at the core, there are a lot of commonalities. But each of these countries have their own distinct culture that on a global scale can be very offensive to other countries, such as the Chinese historically were known, and I'm Chinese American myself. I mean, it's customary. We slurp our soup and, you know, and talk with our mouths full, you know, and the Indians talk very fast. They eat with their hands. So, and handshaking in both of these cultures have not been as common. So what we're seeing today is that we're emerging in toward a global form of business protocols.
So that's interesting. So that in the business world, at least, if not in the personal world, that there is sort of a, I'll use the word standardization or sort of an equal level playing field where we can all begin to understand etiquette and not struggle. I can remember, what was the book the standard that everybody went to? Shake Bow.
Kiss Bow or Shake Hands.
Yes, exactly. And that became the standard when you started traveling overseas of at least getting the basics of what would, as to your point earlier, what would offend people and what was expected. I'm thinking of Japan when I first started traveling there when I was in Hawaii, of the exchange of business cards and honoring someone's business card, not just sticking it in your pocket. But what a great place to hit the pause button. We're going to have great fun with this show. So please stick with us. This is Carol McManus, the LinkedIn Lady, here today with Cindy Seed. And boy, do we have some goodies to share with you that will help your relationships with your clients. Stay with us.
LinkedIn is just part of what your business needs to succeed, and Carol McManus can show you how. This is the LinkedIn Lady Show, and we'll be back with more right after these on allbusinessradionetwork.com. If you're ready for a big change in your work, your career, your happiness, your life, it's time for the Million Dollar Mindset with Marla Tabaka. Monday afternoons at 2, 1 Central on toginet.com. Marla believes that with the right mindset, anything is possible. Join us as successful life coach Marla Tabaka inspires you and her clients to explore, discover, and live your dreams by developing what she calls the Million Dollar Mindset. Marla will inspire you to take action on your dreams and reveal secrets to success that will help you realize your own unique power. Tune into the Million Dollar Mindset for heartwarming stories with Marla Tabaka. Learn tips and tricks to building a successful business and unlock the secrets to creating a happier, more balanced life through abundant thinking and attraction power. For more information on the Million Dollar Mindset, go to our website, marlatabaka.com. That's MarlaTabaka.com. It's the Million Dollar Mindset with Marla Tabaka. Monday afternoons at 2, 1 p.m. Central on toginet.com.
Finally, a show that supports women who are in the midst of a transition in midlife. The show is Second Wind. Here's what certified coach, author, and host of Second Wind, Joyce Buford, wants you to know.
It's so empowering for women to hear about other women and their accomplishments.
We all need cheerleaders, someone who's on our side.
Second Wind is that program to help women connect with other women, hear other women's stories.
In a stressful world.
Find power in those stories.
Learn to discover your passions and joys again. Create the life you want to live to the fullest. Join us for Second Wind with Joyce Buford, Tuesdays at 9 a.m. Central, right here on the TogiNet Radio Network.
Welcome back to the LinkedIn Lady Show with Carol McManus. Every day, there's something new in the social media world. And here is where you can learn more about it. From Google Plus to Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Pinterest, and of course, LinkedIn. This is the LinkedIn Lady Show on allbusinessradionetwork.com. And here again is your host, Carol McManus.
And welcome back to the LinkedIn Lady Show. This is Carol McManus here today with Cindy Seed of Advanced Etiquette. And Cindy, you know, we were talking about the international market, but I have a curiosity question for you because, as you know, I came out of the corporate world and I'm also, my listeners know well that I'm a boomer and I have some very traditional ideas about things. And I have talked on the show in the past about the big divide in the social space, you know, the social media space between generations. But I would love to know from your perspective and from that etiquette perspective, what are you seeing as trends in American business today in terms of what protocols are and expectations are still in place and what have really been eroded as we've sort of relaxed the standards, if you will, in business? What are you seeing and what do you recommend? So it's a two-part question.
Well, I think the number one question that I've been getting from companies when they call is not only appropriate behavior in the business arena, but proper attire. It is true that we have gone from a real, more traditional style of clothing in the workplace, and we went into the casual Friday scene, and younger millennials just have no clue on how to dress for a professional business environment. So that's number one, along with all the rest. But the one thing I wanted to interject, and I give them credit, millennials are willing to accept all of these kinds of direction, far better than the Gen Xers or the Yers, you know, the me generation. So hats off to the millennials, and they just need to be taught. It's just like another course we all have to take in life. You know,
yeah, that's interesting that you say that. Let me just interject something here because I'm reflecting back on where did I learn those skills? Well, obviously some from my parents, you know, who set the standards and sort of taught me things. But I also went, you know, I took dance lessons. I didn't go to a finishing school, but there were some things that I was introduced to at a young age that taught me the protocols of not only dress, but conduct, everything from how to shake hands, how to greet people, how to sit, how to stand, how to hold a plate, you know, at a cocktail party. And I don't know that anybody's teaching those things anymore. I mean, you are, obviously, but it's not inherent in our world, right?
And you know why? It's because in the old days, you might say, it wasn't as prevalent that we would have babysitters or nannies or anything of that like. So I know when I was a child, starting maybe from 4 or 5 years old, I would be dragged with my parents to various parties, and I would be coached and drilled on how I'm supposed to interrupt them in conversations and, as you say, show appropriate manners when I'm over at Aunt Sarah's house. Whereas today, most kids don't have any of those experiences. Parents pretty much hire babysitters, and they get to lay around home and do whatever they want. So that really is a major loss of, you know, just indirect osmosis type learning that again, just have to pick up.
Yeah, it does have to pick up. And I'm also reflecting back on when you really hit a nerve with me when you were talking about appropriate dress. When I, you know, left the corporate world and I was doing a lot of coaching the first couple of years. And while my skill set and my expertise is in executive coaching, I'm also a certified life coach. And because of the economy and the recession, I was doing a fair amount of career coaching at the time, sort of by necessity rather than intent. And working with women, and it didn't matter the age, you know, young, middle-aged, nearing retirement, but particularly for the younger generation, they were wondering why they weren't getting recognized, why they weren't getting promotions, why they weren't getting raises, if in fact they weren't losing their jobs. And so much of it came back to the fact of let's go walk over here and look in the mirror. What do you see and what do you think people see or infer or interpret about you, assume about you based on the way that you are dressed? And that exercise alone was stunning for many of them, because when you can sort of take people in that out of body experience, and I said, I don't want you to look at you in the mirror. I want you to look at you as though you are someone that you are observing, and what comments would you make? And they go, oh my God, I would assume that this right. person is XXX. And it's really frightening. But yeah, doing away with dress codes has really made a big difference.
Oh, yeah. That whole Casual Friday thing has definitely blown up in companies' faces. In fact, now I read an article in the New York Times. They were talking about doing dress-up Fridays, where this one PR company, when doing dress-up Fridays, cited a woman who came in her high school prom dress. And I'm saying, wow, I'm so glad she still fits it, you know?
Yeah.
So, it's really great And the article also talked about a bank doing Casual Fridays. They found more mistakes in the ledgers on Monday morning than any other day of the week because of that attitude and feeling on a Friday when they were dressed in jeans or who knows what. So
And what's really ironic about that is the original intent of Casual Friday was to make people feel that they were more part of the family, and the theory mm-hmm. that it would improve productivity. And in fact, it eroded productivity because people just got sloppy and got lazy and too comfortable. You know, time to go to the beach. It's just amazing.
Corporate America mislabeled it. Had they said informal Fridays, would have been a lot better than the word casual, because people did go casual. That was a mistake we all made.
Oh, that's an interesting observation. So semantics really, really does matter. So mm-hmm. let's move into the social space. I want to ask you, you know, you have been in business for now 20 years or so. Why did you choose to begin using social media? I started my journey in social media in 2008, and I was an absolute novice. I had not been using anything up to that point in time. But tell me how social media became part of your journey as a professional, and then we'll, you know, move that forward later on and talk about the etiquette side of social. But tell me about your journey.
Sure. As with you, I started around 2008, but even before that, I remember when I first started my business, there was a renowned economist named Peter Drucker, and he was quoted as saying, "You got to be ready or be lost." And way back then, he was just talking about being ready to do email, much less any of the social media stuff. But yet I've always remembered that. And over the 20 years, I constantly recognize that I have to keep up with things in order to stay competitive. So when it came to the social media arena, I've always had my LinkedIn, Facebook accounts. I admit it's only been in the last year and even now in the last few months that I've really recognized I got to up my game. And that's the name of it, is that you constantly have to reinvent yourself to stay within the times, especially if you want to reach younger, growing, maturing demographic. Unless you're really hitting the retirees, then maybe even for us baby boomers, we're online quite a bit. But it is just staying up with the times that you have to do it.
Yeah, and I agree with you. And that was mine. You know, I kiddingly say, and I'll often say to audiences, when I started in social in early 2008, I couldn't spell social media. Well, needless to say, that was a bit of an exaggeration. But the fact of the matter is, I didn't have a familiarity with it. And it is a learned skill, but it's a fairly easy to learn skill. Because here's my philosophy about social media, is it's really the same skills we have as human beings when we go to a networking event or a chamber of commerce event. Except it's in the digital world. It's networking, it's connecting, it's talking to mm-hmm. people, it's engaging with people, it's being social and, oh, by the way, being proper so that you build solid relationships online. I mean, that's really all it is.
Absolutely.
And it's fun.
And it is. It can be. And that's the way you have to approach it. I know of other business owners that they've even only done email in the last 5 years. This woman's had her business for about 20 years, and she would get one of her staff members to download the emails, print them out, I guess, for her, and then she'd tell him the answers, and he would reply. Or she would even do faxes. who even has a fax today? So
exactly. Yeah, I remember somebody like that in our organization too, who never would not. In fact, as an executive, it was like typing his own letters. It's something he would not do. It happened to be a him. But that's really funny. I think most of those people are gone today from business, but there may be a few relics left. So let me ask you another question, because I haven't talked to any of my guests recently about blogging. And as I mentioned in the intro, I've been an avid subscriber and reader to your newsletter. I love your newsletter that comes through email. But on your website, you also have an online newsletter blog. So why don't you share with the listeners how that is working for you?
Oh, wow. I can't say enough that, oh, excuse me.
That's okay.
I can't say enough that actually perhaps doing blogs and tips online has truly been the number one hot tip in my life. I've been doing it for about 5 years, and it's brought us the best results in name recognition and in business. It helps our subscribers and our readers to have our name at the top of their mind over time. And I've got over 8,000 loyal subscribers that, sure, it may take them years before they even call me for services. But when they do, often they're saying, oh, I was with you, love your newsletter, and finally our boss finally is interested in this, that, and the other. Or my children, you know, who's finally 9 years old, I would love to send my child to your seminars. So the strategy has always been to provide great value content to people, to be a top of the mind through all of the down economy and up economy, and that's been a real joy for me.
That's amazing. And I think you said a couple of really important things there, is that number one, it doesn't happen overnight. You're not going to start a blog and 2 months from now have volumes of business and thousands of readers. And it's not necessary. You've built them over time. And I love your word loyal, because those loyal readers they're there for a reason. They're paying attention for a reason. And when they are ready for your services, they're going to reach out to you because they feel they know you. They feel they have a relationship with you, which to me is the reason to blog. And for anyone who doesn't do it or know about it, if you are interested in Cindy's topics, all you need to do is go to advancedetiquette.com and definitely, you know, subscribe to her blog, because it's fabulous. So I'm watching the clock here, Cindy. We're going to break away for our halfway break. So when we come back, I want to continue on this conversation about social and blogging and some of the things that you're doing to market your business, because that's always of interest to my listeners. So stay with us, folks. This is the LinkedIn Lady. Cindy and I will be right back after these messages.
LinkedIn is just part of what your business needs to succeed. And Carol McManus can show you how. This is the LinkedIn Lady Show, and we'll be back with more right after these on allbusinessradionetwork.com.
Are you fascinated by the stories behind the stories? The people behind their masks? The truth about people's failures and redemptions? In both their business and personal lives? Then Off the Record Secrets Of with host Judy Schreiner is for you. It's people's secrets that make them interesting, but very few folks are willing to reveal them unless they trust that their information will be treated with accuracy, fairness, and respect. People have been entrusting their secrets to longtime business journalist Judy Schreiner for the last 25 years, and now she's bringing her expertise and impressive contact list. Tune in and call in as host Judy Schreiner talks to guests off the record as they reveal new secrets each Tuesday at noon Eastern, 11 a.m. Central. Join host Kaylin Amadio for Act Local, marketing for small business. Kaylin helps concerned, confused, and even clueless small business entrepreneurs market simply, safely, and successfully. Join Kaylin for some Monday morning marketing madness that will leave you with more ideas, more understanding, and more knowledge about why and how harnessing the internet gives you the power to bring your business to the next level. Whether you need need help with online media, social media, video, or mobile marketing for your local business, this marketing black belt will guide you into the 21st century with easy tips, tricks, and techniques that get your local business seen and heard. Each week, Kaylin will feature a new tip that you can use today, as well as a range of guest experts who are passionate about helping local business owners thrive. Act Local, Marketing for Small Business, airs every Monday morning at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Welcome back to the LinkedIn Lady Show with Carol McManus. Every day, there's something new in the social media world. And here is where you can learn more about it. From Google Plus to Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Pinterest, and of course, LinkedIn. This is the LinkedIn Lady Show on allbusinessradionetwork.com. And here again is your host, Carol McManus.
But it is the idea of getting the greater numbers. That is, if anything, the biggest challenge with me using social media, which I would love some tips from you on, because and how do I continue reaching the thousands of people?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question, and it sort of goes back to your point about blogging of consistency and purpose. You already very astutely pointed out that each site has its own demographic and its own purpose, but I always tell my clients that you need to know where your sweet spot is and what you're really committed to. So if you're going after that business market and the people that are signing your paycheck are those, you know, training managers, marketing managers, hiring managers, HR people, finance people, you know, the corporate market, then there's no question that LinkedIn is going to be where you want to spend the majority of your time. Not to say that you're not going to have a presence on Facebook or Twitter or other sites, but you want to establish where your real sweet spot is. So for me, obviously, LinkedIn and then Twitter are my two hot buttons. I have a presence on Facebook, but I don't put as much energy into Facebook because I'm not in the direct business to consumer market. That's not where I spend my time. But I'm there because you pretty much can't not, that's bad English, but you can't not be on Facebook
exactly
Today. But you can blend it and use management and automated tools, which I say use with discretion, because you got to be careful that you stay personally engaged and you stay, attuned to what's going on. But you can definitely use management tools and do, you know, multiple postings and those kinds of things to help manage your own time to get the message out. So let's move over to this, to your area of expertise, which is etiquette, but I'm going to put an N in front of that and say, we started off the show talking about general business etiquette. I want to talk about netiquette, meaning internet etiquette, and social media or other things, whether it's email, whether it's, blogging, whether it's, you know, anything, texting, electronic communication. I want to hear from the expert. What are the things that you are seeing and what are the things that you recommend?
Well, as you said, first and foremost, you have to understand the demographic to whom you're speaking. And at the minimum, it's the idea of not sounding like you're trying to sell somebody anything online. But if anything, there's another business coach by the name of Fran Zone, and I love her saying, she says, don't sell me, compel me. And that really is the name of the game, I think, when it comes to social media, is that you're going to share important content to the point that the person is going to want more from you, is going to be enticed to want to buy your books or products or services, coaching, whatever, that overall you're not, you know, being all that salesy in terms of the type of text that you're going to do. So for me, when it's social media, I'm really giving them solid content. Which gives me the greatest joy in sharing certain things. So whatever a person's writing, you know, whatever, think of it, you're writing to any one person, but know also that you're writing to the public. And you gotta hold your integrity, your reputation and brand and your image at all times. So no sounding off, no using slang or any of those kinds of tactics, you know, even though there are writers that I've gotten in on some of my blogs, just make me so angry that I have to take a Microsoft Word document and start composing my reply, and then I got to re-edit two or three times, you know, so I won't sound, you know, huffy in return and all that. Whatever it takes, though, you got to maintain that composure at all times.
I am so thrilled to hear you say that, because, you know, I say to people, you want to sound human, you want to sound authentic. We're not talking the King's English here. You don't want to sound stiff and impersonal, but you do want to be coherent. You want to have coherent sentences. I am like you. I believe in good grammar, good spelling, because if it's there, it almost goes back to our conversation about sloppy dress in the workplace. If they see sloppy writing, if they see a lot of misspellings, if they see poor punctuation, incomplete sentences, you know, acronyms that we would use in texting, which are very acceptable in texting, but not in a blog post, that's when I think your credibility with people, and this is now we're talking to our business listeners, that's when I think your credibility is really put into question, because they're saying, is this person an idiot or do they know what they're doing? So am I reading that properly?
Absolutely. I mean, I actually do like social media for that reason, is that it does help humanize. We've all seen too many times all of the blogs that have all the hype in it and everything, and it just doesn't work anymore. You know, people do want to be compelled and not sold to. So I guess
I love it.
I don't know.
Go ahead.
Oh, no. I was just thinking one other phrase that popped into my mind from a woman from IBM named Pauline Orris. I mean, and I love this, because if you can visualize this, control in social media is like grabbing water. The stronger you grab, the less you hold. And the thing that you got to keep in mind is the right way to retain water, but is not by force. You know, you have to be just gentle and holding the water, and it will hold for you. So, again, all of that sales lingo and all of that is kind of out the window these days.
And, you know, that is brilliant. That is really drop-dead brilliant. It's something everybody can visualize and wrap their head around, and it really says volumes. This is not something you can force. You can't make it happen. You can't make it successful. You can do things you can use techniques, you can use tools, but at the end of the day, it really is an organic human experience, and I think that's where a lot of people lose sight of social media, that it's not it's an electronic platform, but its purpose is for human connection. And I think once people get that, then they really flourish in the social space. So, my dear, we're going to have to go to our last break here. We will be back in just a second for the last segment of the LinkedIn Lady Show. Stay with us.
LinkedIn is just part of what your business needs to succeed. And Carol McManus can show you how. This is the LinkedIn Lady Show. And we'll be back with more right after these on allbusinessradionetwork.com.
This is Uncommon Sense for Leaders, a forum for exploring leadership from the intellect, the heart, and the spirit. Whether you're a leader now or aspire to be a leader in the future, you owe it to yourself to learn about the big ideas that have shaped the careers of compelling communicators, masters of influence, and highly effective leaders. Uncommon Sense for Leaders. Tune in to hear thought-provoking ideas on every aspect of leadership. You can expect dynamic discussions with special guests, quick tips you can apply immediately for better results, and the tools you need to take you from where you are to where you want to be as a leader. Are you ready to crack the code for achieving unprecedented results? Then join the host for Uncommon Sense for Leaders, Catherine Carlisi, every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on the All Business Radio Network.
Finally, a show that supports women who are in the midst of a transition in midlife. The show is Second Wind. Here's what certified coach, author, and host of Second Wind, Joyce Buford, wants you to know.
It's so empowering for women to hear about other women and their accomplishments.
We all need cheerleaders, someone who's on our side.
Second Wind is that program to help women connect with other women, hear other women's stories.
In a stressful world,
find power in those stories.
Learn to discover your passions and joys again. Create the life you want to live to the fullest.
Join us for Second Wind with Joyce Buford, Tuesdays at 9 a.m. Central, right here on the TogiNet Radio Network.
Welcome back to the LinkedIn Lady Show with Carol McManus. Every day, there's something new in the social media world. And here is where you can learn more about it. From Google Plus to Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Pinterest, and of course, LinkedIn. This is the LinkedIn Lady Show on allbusinessradionetwork.com. And here again is your host, Carol McManus.
Welcome back to the LinkedIn Lady Show. This is your host, Carol McManus, here with Cindy Seed of... I just put your website aside. That is so awful. It is advancedetiquette.com, and we'll give you that information at the end. But Cindy, here's what I want to ask you. I really want to spend this last segment talking about your best of the best, your best tips for social media for business, but also if you want to throw in some just for business in general. I mean, you're out there, you're talking with businesses, with individuals, with companies, and you know, what are the things that we need to be doing in our businesses today to really put the proper things in place? So let's start with the social side.
Wow, there's a lot that I could say on this for sure. I guess first and foremost is that social media is not a fad. As many people are saying, oh, well, I'll just wait and see if it lasts and all that. And certainly certain platforms come and go. But overall, the main ones that we are seeing and you discuss is here to stay. And it's really an integral part, especially if you're wanting to go global. Because what we don't realize is everyone else in the world uses social media almost more than we do here in the U.S. So that's number one. Number two, though, it does bother me that businesses are still using their Yahoo, Gmail addresses along with their website. That just does not give a good professional image to me. If you're going to have a website, to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, it doesn't cost you any more to have, say, the Cindy Seed at advancedetiquette.com or instead of using my Gmail or Yahoo address. So why not, you know, you're losing a marketing opportunity, shall I say, for name recognition when you're just
bingo, 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 yeah. Bingo. You hit that one, baby. What else?
Yeah. The professional wording. There's an informal style and more friendly style, as we were talking about, but overall a professional style. So for me, that kind of means that every 10 days, 3 to 4, 5 times a month, you've got to update all the social media sites. Just put out a little blurb, and it doesn't take but less than 5 minutes. So mark your calendar that on specific dates, and for me, it's actually a Saturday morning, you know, I'll put out a little extra post, and that keeps you up to date in terms of what you're doing. But yet, a lot of people, you were saying about other things, the biggest comment I get and is a mainstay in all of our seminars these days is about email etiquette. You know, the texting, as you were saying, in the middle of meetings, or the wealth and craziness of so much we get. So the biggest recommendation I can have for people is to be sure and set up different addresses for the different aspects of your life. So you have your main business address, and if you're working for a company, you know there's been a major clampdown on using that, you know, corporation.com address for anything personal, no jokes, no emails of that nature. So that stands alone, but then have your personal email, you know, address as well for all of your friends and families, for all those jokes and everything. And for me, I have three other ones real quickly. I do have one that I use whenever I buy the Amazon.com, you know, Bed Bath & Beyond kinds of things. I also have another address that can be either turned off or on for junk mail, like when you subscribe to various things. And then I even have a email address for my bank receipts now that are banking. So every time anything goes through banking, it goes to that address. And I don't have them all be dumped in my mail system at once. I have it manually so I can focus during the day only on my business if I have time during the day, I can do my personal one, or I peek at all the ads through the other one. So it keeps you sane is the main thing that I have found, and people have reported back to me, wow, this has really saved me from not having 1,000 emails in my box every day. So,
yeah, that is a brilliant, brilliant suggestion. And it doesn't take much to set up those multiple email addresses. And like you said, for your personal account, then it's fine to use Yahoo or Gmail or a generic address, because it really doesn't matter. But I love the idea, because we all struggle with the inbox overload. It's very hard today to, once you put your email out there, to escape, you know, the spamming and the phishing and the, all of those other nefarious things that happen. So, but if you have things that are for specific purposes and you don't use them online, then they're going to stay pretty clean, is chances are. Exactly. And that's a great, great tip. I love that.
Yep.
So let's flip over just to the general business side. Let's move away from social and talk about what would be your best one or two tips for, and let's talk to the business owners who are struggling with, I need to put some standards, some practice into place that are not, that are, you know, contemporary, that are current with today's business climate, but that will help my business to be looked at seriously by our consumers and clients. So what would be one or two things top of mind?
Top of mind, be responsive to anyone who calls you, who sends you an email. You've got to respond within 24 to 48 hours. I mean, I can't say enough. I've been blessed with a lot of media, as you have so been so kind to kind of review. But the number one thing I get from reporters is that, hey, Cindy, you were the only etiquette professional that responded. You know, we did send out the query to a two or three, but you're the only one. So it already makes me think, wow, you know, where is this? So, and we see it here. We call a company, want some information, and they never call back. So that is really number one, is being responsive to your customer base. Number two, I would say, is thanking them. Being genuinely appreciative of their business. Even if things are kind of like templated on your email, if you've got online kinds of purchasing things, I mean, even the big ones, you know, will send you an automated thank you. Just seeing those words, I think, really help to be feel like you're being appreciated than to just never hear from them. And keeping people up to date. Honoring your promises, your commitments, that if you say you're going to be sending it out by Friday, mark it on your calendar, and if Friday hits and you can't do it, you owe that customer a call to say that, hey, you know, something happened, it's going to be delayed. That's just great. You know, people will understand that versus next week when it still doesn't arrive and you've not heard, you know, squat from the person. So those are the top three, unless you want more.
We have some time here. What else comes to your mind? I mean, you're on a roll here, baby, and boy, it's music to my ears. It occurs to me that one of the audiences that you should be speaking to are recruiters and hiring managers. I just did a program last night, Cindy, to a fairly large group of people, all of whom are in transition, and they were talking about the big black hole of, you know, you not just sending a resume and not getting a response. That they understand. But it's when there has been some type of communication, either an email acknowledgement, a pre-screen conversation, maybe even a phone interview, and then nothing. It goes into absolute darkness. I think that is just the height of rudeness. It doesn't take that long, even if it's an automated email that says, thank you so much for your interest in our company, but we have gone a different direction, or we've chosen another candidate, something, so people can close the book on it and move on. I mean, I love that. But anyway, I'm digressing here. I mean, what other tips do you have?
But for interviewing etiquette, and which can actually lead to similar kinds of things for sales call etiquette, it is, how about writing that thank you note after that meeting? And I don't mean by email. I mean sending it in a handwritten, regular snail mail, 49-cent stamp, wasting trees, so to speak. I mean, we all love to receive that paper, and it really says volumes. Recruiters constantly tell me, when all things are equal, if someone sent them that kind of a thank you note, it's easier for them to put them on that short list. So, yeah, etiquette in terms of interviewing. It's that first impression, the idea of don't be shy and having that piece of paper and a pad and pen during the meeting, jotting down notes. If they ask you to send them something afterwards, that way you won't forget. You know, don't say, oh, yeah, I'll remember, but you won't. You know, and to have a list of your own questions that are important for you, because recruiters all ask that last question. Do you have any other questions for me at this time? Well, you can say, one moment, let me see my list. You know, gosh, you've asked me everything. Or if you see something, that way you'll capture it. So, interviewing is one of the things that we do constantly at colleges and universities each year, along with dining etiquette. How to finesse a business lunch is fun.
I love that, which actually leads to my last question before we run out of time. How can our listeners reach you after this program, and just, you know, give us a quick overview of your services?
Oh, well, thank you. Best way is that I'd love for people to go on to our blog site of www.advancedetiquette.com/blog, and you can review all of our past articles as well as sign up. But I'd love to hear an email from anyone. Simply info@advancedetiquette.com. And you can certainly find us on LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, and our newest outlet, of course, is Instagram. So I'd love to hear from anybody. Love getting stumped for the day if they have any questions.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people are struggling with this because, for as much as I am an advocate and a huge supporter of social media, it definitely has changed how we interact. And it's not all good, but it's certainly not all bad. It's very effective when it's used properly. And I think people like you, I just so applaud what you're doing, because people like you are trying to help us as business owners, entrepreneurs, you know, keep that higher standard and set ourselves apart from the competition. And I'm just so deeply grateful, you know, for the information and the expertise that you share. And I certainly will continue to read share and pass on and advocate for you, because you are just an amazing lady. So, Cindy, thank you so much for being on the LinkedIn Lady Show. I love you to death. We need to keep in touch, and we definitely have to have you back on soon. So we will do that.
My pleasure.
So, excellent. 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 So, advancedetiquette.com, or if you want to send Cindy a direct email, it's info@advancedetiquette.com. Go to her blog, check her out. You will not be disappointed, and you might need her for your business or your company, or you know somebody else who can. But we are out of time for today. You know already, I'll be back tomorrow with Ken Heron. But for today, this is the LinkedIn Lady wishing you quality connections and natural networking. You have a great day. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for being a part of the LinkedIn Lady Show with your host, Carol McManus, here on AllBusinessRadioNetwork.com. Every social media site has